Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So last week, we talked about we are at war. And as I said last week, this morning, we're going to talk about we are soldiers. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." And then in 2 Timothy 2, it says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." And then finally, John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly, or to the full," as the King James says. So we know from last week that we are at war. We know we've got weapons. We know we've got armor. We know what the enemy's like. We know he's cunning. He's crafty. We know he's got strategies. We learned a little bit about his name, which represents the things that he does. So let's move on. At the end of my message last week, I talked about having done all stand. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all stand." And as we went on and continued in that scripture like we did last week, you would see the word stand repeated three times. Stand, stand, stand. Resist the enemy, he will flee. As I talked and finished the message last week, I shared a little story about the Force 10 from Navarone film, where the troops were sent in to infiltrate the enemy camp and to set charges at a dam wall, or a retarding basin wall if you can't say dam in church anymore, where they were told to place those charges and were given instructions on what to do and how to do it. Having placed the charges, they retreated, they pushed the plunger, they heard the rumble of the charges going off, but they didn't see anything happen. And then finally, just as they were about to give up, just as if they thought that they had lost or didn't do a good job, they started to see a little crack appear in that wall. That crack grew, obviously, as the water started to flood through, and as the water flooded through more and more, the crack grew bigger until finally the dam wall went away. Using that example, I talked about how often it is in our own lives that we do something and we don't see the result of it. And so we think that God didn't work. So the challenge at the end of last week was to stand and wait. Resist the enemy and he will flee. Remember, a scripture that we often don't like when we're talking subjects like this is that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. This is the favorite passage of all pastors when they're counseling. And it's the favorite passage that normally gets you a punch in the face, because people don't want to hear it. We don't want to know what God's ways are. We just want to know what our ways are and how God should do it. But sometimes it doesn't happen. This morning, as we move on from last week, I want to start with another story, a story about a fog of war as portrayed at the start of another movie based on the true story about Saving Private Ryan. The fog of war is when in the heat of battle you have an uncertainty or a situational awareness due to the battle going on around you. You've been trained, you've been equipped, you've been told what you're going to do. In your mind, you think you know what's going to happen. And then in the midst of battle, in the midst of that situation, it doesn't go according to plan. For any who have seen the movie, troops have come in on warships. They're being taken to the beachhead in landing crafts. And as they enter the water off those landing crafts, all hell breaks out. Men are being mowed down everywhere. Gunfire like you would not believe. Bloodied bodies lying everywhere. The water itself in the film is just blood red. Smoke, noise, utter confusion and carnage. All of the training that these troops had did not prepare them for this. The battle in the film, as in many films that we watch, is not real, in the sense that the battle in the film went for 10 minutes. Yet in real life, those men in the water were there for 36 hours. They didn't give up. In Ephesians 6 terminology, having done all they knew to do from their training, they stood their ground. Even as they watched their mates, their buddies, being ploughed down around them. Many Christians today, I think, are in the fog of war. Yet unfortunately, they've lost sight of what the Word of God says, what the Bible tells them to do. And so they're now confused. They don't know which way to go. They don't know which way to face. They're disoriented. And they see themselves losing ground. They see themselves starting to believe the lies of the world around us. Starting to believe, well, this is the generation that we live in. Or whatever the lie might be. My challenge last week and this week, as we talk about foundations, is to re-establish the foundational principle and the foundational truths of spiritual warfare. Re-establish them as part of our daily activities, as part of our daily habit patterns. We talked last week a little bit about putting on our armour. You know, starting to recognise what God has given us and what we've got to do and where we've got to go. It's time for us to make spiritual warfare a part of our daily activities. In the Bible we read in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The more we understand the tactics of our enemy, the easier it is to recognize him and the easier it is to see him defeated in our lives. You see, we know as we read the Word of God, as Jesus expresses it so many times, what the enemy does and how he works. And as I said last week, one of Satan's biggest traps has been to make us believe that he doesn't exist, that he's just a figment of our imagination. He's just another story, as some people call them in the Bible. I don't believe the things in the Bible are just stories. They are truths, they are principles, they are there for us to learn from. As Corinthians says, they are there for our example, that we might walk in them. Jesus talked about Satan. He told us what his tactics were. The Bible is full of Satan's strategies, yet we have been outwitted by him because we've become ignorant of his devices. Just as much as God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I believe that Satan is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we need to recognize that he uses the similar tactics. He uses similar things right through the Bible, and we can learn from them. In another movie, a movie called We Are Soldiers, or We Were Soldiers, a portrayal of another true story is said. Believe it or not, it was Colonel Hal Moore. Now, I've only ever heard Hal's name mentioned once, but now we've got it twice. Colonel Hal Moore was preparing for his next tour of duty into Vietnam. He was given his task. He was told what he had to do. He was told where he was going and what he was going to have to face. And so Colonel Moore, in preparation before he left for the battlefront, decided that he would study the historical records of any battle that had taken place in that area before. He found that 60 years before, in exactly the same area that he was going, there had been some battles between the French and the Viet Cong. As he studied the tactics of the Viet Cong, he realized why the French had lost the war. He concluded that the French had lost the war because they didn't appreciate how valuable the underground tunnels were to the Viet Cong. Colonel Moore sat up night after night and studied maps and plans of these tunnels that are still there to this day. He studied the paddle tactics of the Viet Cong. He studied what the generals did in the French army. He realized how they had lost. The story in the film goes in, and it's a true story portrayed just as like Saving Private Ryan. Colonel Moore and his men won a very hard battle, a bloodied battle. They won that battle with the same enemy because he had bothered to study to know his enemy's tactics from past battles. The enemy he fought some 60 years later were using those same tunnels and those same tactics that the French had faced. As I watched that film, I saw so many parallels to the spiritual war we're in. Before I give you those parallels, let me talk to you about a current day example that I know that many parents are facing right now. Because again, the tactics of the enemy haven't changed. The thing that the enemy did back in Joshua's day, Moses' day, Adam and Eve's day, he's doing today. Might be clothed differently, it might be looked differently, but it's still the same tactics. And believe it or not, we still have the same God, with the same victory, with the same authority, with the same power. And as Mark said, with that same desire to be for us and not against us. There's a film series in Netflix now. Let me just have a quick look around. Okay, I'm going to mention the film series. I didn't think I would, but I want to. I want to because it's a disgusting film series. It's a film series that is aimed at 13, 14, 15-year-old kids. In fact, I tried to watch the film series and I couldn't. When you read the actual health warning on this film series, it tells you how bad it is and it tells you what to do if you start to see the people who are watching it, your children, being affected in the way that this film portrays. Now, why would we allow our kids to watch a film series that had such an incredible warning? That'd be like giving them a drink, and on the side of this drink it says, poison, do not drink this, you will die. Oh, good. Oh, yum. I didn't know it was going to happen, but it does. This film series, which has series 2 just started, is called 13 Reasons Why. Now, we had our school, have written to parents. We've talked about it in the sense of in a clothed way to students, challenging them how bad this thing is and how disastrous it will be for you if you watch it. You know what surprises me? How dumb some parents are, that they would still let their kids watch it. But then again, now if I sound tough, please excuse me, but I do get cross at this. This is what you should do with parties. This is how you should operate. This is what you should do, yet we still don't do it. Why would we send out letters? Why would we give advice if it wasn't that we were trying to protect children? Parents' children. Not our children, parents' children, who should be wanting to protect them more. This film series is all about suicide. It's all designed to give children words and things to do and say that will give them power over adults. It's designed to twist and to break down authority structures. Parents, sideline. Parents, I don't understand how kids, 13, 14, 15-year-old, can get onto Netflix, sign in and watch it without you knowing that they're doing it. Please protect your kids from the world darkness that is out there that is trying to rob them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's the same enemy using the same tactics, same strategies, with the same desire and outcome, to steal, to kill and destroy. We as a church, as a young people's team, as a young adults team, are working hard to provide a place of safety. We need your help. But remember what's behind it. And if your kids come home and say, well, everybody else is doing it, don't do it. Because that's part of the speak that this film is using to try and twist adults so that children have authority, which the scripture says will happen in end times, by the way. Adults, you don't get out of it scot-free either. Because if we're not setting an example for our children, then they're not going to do what we do. Pornography, addictions, gambling, whatever it might be. It's time to raise up godly standards in our homes that will protect our kids. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore let anyone who thinks himself standing, therefore let the one who thinks he stands firm, immune to temptation, being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he does not fall into sin and into condemnation. We do have an enemy. Be sober, be vigilant. Your enemy is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Stand up. Put on that torch and shine your light and see that there be nothing there that the enemy can use. Colonel Moore went to battle knowing what he was in for. And as I said, as I watched the film, I wrote down a list of things that stood out to me in regard to spiritual warfare. Things about the enemy. He's ruthless. He works in tunnels, in underground situations. He is the angel of light, the Bible says. He does have strategies. He is cunning. He is crafty. He doesn't play fair. He works by stealth and in darkness. He's not easily seen. And he uses diversions and decoys and traps. I haven't got time to tell you one of Pastor Oxy's stories on diversions, but he tries to divert us from where we should be going, which allows him then to dig in and to get more ground. The troops were trained. They knew each other's jobs. They knew the person on either side of them. They were disciplined. They watched each other's backs. They were prepared to die. They were obedient to death. They were prepared to lay down their life for a cause. They fought as one. They were told as we're told, you will make mistakes, but we are told to wipe the dust off our feet. I talked about that earlier in the year. Troops need discernment. We need discernment. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment. The war that we're at battle with, the war that was being fought and we are soldiers was unjust. And unfortunately, there is always casualties. But remember, we are fighting for the next generation. Adults, you're fighting for the generation below you. Young people, you are fighting for the next generation. You know, don't just think because I'm young, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It seriously matters because you are laying foundations for the future. War is restoration of that which has been stolen. War is all about freedom. In there, I looked at Colonel Moore. And, you know, when I say leader, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about all of us. We're all leaders. We all role model somebody to somebody. He was a man of his word. He was resolute. He knew the principles. He led by example. He was trained. He was God-fearing. In the film, Colonel Moore had next to him a Bible. He was a man of prayer. He studied other battles. He was prepared. He trusted his team. He was a man of order and discipline. He was prepared to die for the cause. He was honest. He told his men before they went to battle, there will be casualties. He tried to think like the enemy. What would the enemy be doing? You know, we have the Word of God again. It's there for us to see how Satan works. We're not like him, but we can think what he would be doing so that we're ahead of him. He understood the fog of war. He wasn't ignorant of the enemy's devices. He was caring. He was wise. He knew the layout of the land. He was the first on the ground and he was the last to leave. I class myself as a privileged person growing up under Pastor Oxy. The man of war that he was, the man who understands battles, the man of training that he is, the man of discipline that he is. And I just truly can't say to you, sir, how much I appreciate what you've done for me. Part of that training was to watch for where the enemy is, to remember that we're not fighting flesh and blood. To start asking, okay, God, so where and how is Satan operating? You know, as part of the leadership team of this place, part of my job, part of my DNA is to keep watch over the flock as with the other elders. It's not just about having vision. It's about checking and watching and making certain that we're not opening the door to the enemy, that we're not allowing things to happen. You might call them rules and regulations. I call them strategies. Strategies to see God's name lifted high. Strategies to see light casting out darkness. Strategies to see that this place will be a light on a hill where people can not only come in and be safe, but we can take the life-giving message out to see lives impacted. God, where are the tunnels? What diversions have we allowed ourselves to fall for? Is Satan robbing us? Where would he rob us if he was to come in the door? Our task today is the same task God told Joshua to say to the children of Israel as they went into possess their inheritance. And again, I haven't got time to share it. Test me on this, but let me read this scripture to you. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you pass over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their figured stones and destroy all their metal images, demolish all their high places. Now, it's interesting when you go through the book of Kings and you read about the kings. It seems that the Bible says, and this king pulled down the high places. This king didn't pull down the high places. Bible says, as the kings of Israel lived, so the children of Israel lived. And so a righteous king, children of Israel lived righteously. An unrighteous king, they lived unrighteously. Why? King pulled down the high places. We can't let high places stay, no matter how innocent they might look. But then it goes on with this warning. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then those of them whom you let remain shall be as barbs in your eyes and thorns in your side, and they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell. Listen to this last warning. And I will do to you as I thought to do to them. If we don't drive the giants out of the land, then they will end up doing to us what we were supposed to do to them. It's our job for the generation to come. It's our job to drive out the giants in our land. You cannot just sit there blindly and say it's somebody else's job. Parents, they're your kids. Parents, it's your lives. Parents, it's your grandkids that your kids are going to have. Young people, it's your lives. I guarantee you, as Colonel Moore guaranteed his soldiers, it will get bloody. There will be casualties. That's what happens in war. But let's get real. Let me tell you a story about our own personal life. And I don't do this often, and I have asked permission of Alan, thanks Al, to be able to share a story about what happened to him. We moved into our home that we're in presently 20 years ago. And it was a great, great move. We were blessed to move into the house we're in, and we just felt so, so, so blessed by God. Having moved in, Within weeks of moving in, Chris and I noticed that Al was acting strangely. Now, he was a 16-year-old boy and he was doing what typical 16-year-old boys were doing, but his nature had changed. He'd become aggressive, he'd become rude, he'd become obnoxious to Chris in regard to authority. It wasn't in character. This was not our Al. And the only difference that we knew had happened was we'd moved from our old house to our new house. Just so happened that youth camp was on one weekend just after we moved, and Al and Rel went off to youth camp, and again I praise God for our young people and our youth leaders. And Chris and I determined that we were going to spend the weekend praying for Al. And so, as we've done many times for many other people, we went into this house and into his room, and we had prayed through the house. We'd prayed through everything before we moved in, but we determined that we would pray in his room. So on Friday evening, after I'd gone to youth camp, Chris and I walked into this room and we prayed. And I mean, we warfared. We were cross. Our boy was being robbed. That was not our boy. We went to bed, and the next morning I woke up and I went into that room to have another pray, and blow me down across the whole of the ceiling, not down the walls, but just around the cornices and the whole of the ceiling. And I'm not telling a lie, I wish I'd taken a photo of it. It was covered in spiders, little spiders, not big ones, little ones, baby tarantula type spiders, huntsman type spiders, covered. I'm talking hundreds of thousands, I reckon. I called Chris. She loves spiders. We knew that something had happened. It's strange, you know, because in that room, there's no holes, there's no cracks, there's no vents or anything. There was just one heat event. Yet this room was covered in spiders. The spiders didn't go outside the room, just to the door. And that's all. I did what you should do. You're thinking I'm going to say pray. I went and got a Mordine bomb. And I let that Mordine bomb off and I thought, die, you suckers, die. And then we prayed again. And at lunchtime there was more spiders. Not as many, but more. We didn't do anything. We just let them fall under the bedside, under the carpet. It was just covered in black. We prayed right throughout that weekend until Sunday afternoon. There wasn't one spider on that roof. Thanks to God and Mortine. The natural and the spiritual working together. It's a good thing. Unbeknown to us, at that youth camp that weekend, God was working in Al's life as well. And he'd responded to an altar call. And he came back and we had our Al back. Typical 16-year-old boy. But there was peace in his life. There was good eyes. You know, it was only about a year later, and I got to be careful because I think, I don't know. A year later, I was talking to our neighbour who we'd got to know a little bit, had been in this street for a long time, and he told us the history of our house. It turned out that the original owner and builder, not the person we bought the house off, so I've got that clean on the tape, was a madam. She was a prostitute. Her husband had died. She couldn't afford the house. And what she'd done is she'd opened up the house as a red light house. And my neighbour told me about the red light coming on and off. And everybody knew, except us. And it just so happened that it was Alan's room that was the room where it was all done. Isn't that incredible? God showed us what to do, and we exercised spiritual warfare, and we fought for our son. What would have happened if we hadn't? I don't know. Never thought about it, because it didn't happen. There are many in this place today, and you are in the fog of war. My challenge to you today is to don't stop keeping to the battle plan. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situations are in your life, God always wins. His word is true. His truth shall set you free. You might not see it happening by now, but you can have faith that it will happen because you know God's word. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, President Roosevelt wanted to know what the generals were going to respond and how they were going to respond. And again, I can see myself sitting in Pastor Oxy's room. They all had lame excuses as to why they couldn't do it. Thank you, Pastor Hal. The story went on to say that he worked his way out of his wheelchair because Roosevelt was in a wheelchair. And it says, while struggling to stand without his wheelchair, he looked at those generals fair bang in the eye and he says, "Don't tell me it can't be done." He'd worked his way out of his chair when he couldn't stand and stood and told his generals, "Don't you come to me and tell me something can't be done. If you want to win, you can win." He then said, "Victory is when you believe it." Pastor Hal used to say to me often, "Graham, it doesn't matter how many battles you lose as long as you win the last one." Church, it's time to resist the devil. It's time to see him flee. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Church, are you going to leave the enemy not defeated? Are you going to allow those tunnels that the enemy's been using not to be destroyed? Ephesians 6 says, "Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day," and we are in that day, "and having done all, stand." We are soldiers. It doesn't matter how many battles we lose as long as we win the last one. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And finally, behold, I give you power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing in any way shall hurt you. Why don't you stand with me? Sally, worship team, can you come up, please? I'm not going to ask you to come down the front because I don't want you to be embarrassed. But there are many here today, and you've buried your head in the sands. You've said, "I don't like spiritual warfare," or "I don't know how to do spiritual warfare." Or, "Let spiritual warfare be done by others because I'm an evangelist." Well, let me tell you, evangelists, we're all evangelists. And we're all in a battle. You will know what's happening because you will see things in your lives being robbed. We saw our son being robbed and we went to battle for him. Go to battle for yourself, for your lives, for your marriages, for whatever it might be. We can break the power of the enemy because Jesus has given us that authority. The only reason that the enemy has power over you is because you're giving him power over you. You're allowing him to deceive you. Shine your light on his darkness today. And let's drive the giants out today. And let's claim the ground that is rightfully ours. Now, I'm just going to pray. And then we're going to sing, "You Better Have a Good Battle Song." I like the one that you guys wrote. I really love that song. You know, can we do that? Battle song. Make it really beaty. Not loud, because I don't want to have it, but beaty, you know. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. You can see I'm a musician, can't you? Let's claim back the ground this morning. Father, we thank you that we are your soldiers and that we are at war. And that, Lord God, today we are not only fighting for our sons and our daughters, our marriages, our husbands and our wives, but Lord, we are fighting for our country. We are fighting for our generation. Lord God, because our generation is the generation that's alive right now. And Lord God, I pray that right now that you would expose tunnels that, Lord God, that you would reveal again that we have defeated the enemy through your Son's name. And that, Lord God, we can claim the ground. Just as much as you told Joshua, every place that I put you, put the sole of your feet, I'll give you. Lord God, let us determine this day that we're taking back your ground. The ground that you have given to us, the ground that your Son died and won for us. Lord God, that we might see life and see it to the full operating, not only in our lives, but Lord God, in the generations and the people to come that are going to come to know you.